Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Half Year Report 2017 conference call and live webcast. I'm Sherry, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CEO, and Mr. Tobias Knechtle, CFO of Valora Holding. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Müller speaking, CEO of the group. It's a pleasure to welcome you on our half year results earnings call. It's my pleasure to present today a strong set of figures and to confirm our guidance as we have provided you with an outlook earlier this year. So we suggest we turn immediately to the presentation that we published online this morning. I start on page number three with the key highlights. We are very pleased with the development of the group, with a strong increase of the EBIT to 34.7 million Swiss francs, and ultimately leading to an EBIT margin of 3.5%. With the strong performance on an EBIT level, our return on capital employed increased to 9%, very much on track as well with figures we have guided earlier. I'm also very pleased that all our strategic initiatives on a group level are well on the way and that we can confirm our midterm guidance. In the retail segment, specifically our gross profit margin improved and the gross cost ratio in retail Switzerland. We concluded the integration of Navil successfully, including the sale of the building earlier this year, as we have already announced. The lean and agile organizational structure that we implemented as part of that integration has a strong and very positive impact on the cost ratio overall of our retail business in Switzerland. On the food service side, we have a positive same-store development in the B2C, so our consumer retail business, and further growth in the B2B, our production business. The acquisition and the integration of the Brett LeBaron, our U.S. production facility that we acquired earlier this year, is well on the way, and we also concluded successfully the technical implementation of the new line in Oranienbaum. With that summary, I hand over to our CFO, Tobias Knechtle, who will talk you through the key figures on the following pages.
Many thanks, Michael, as well from my side, ladies and gentlemen, warm welcome to our presentation. I move over to page number four, ROCE for the group, and definitely starting with one of the highlights. We've always said that ROCE is our key metrics internally to measure our advancement and success on the road to more profitability, and I think we made an important step forward. Overall, the group achieved an increase of 0.7 percentage point to 9%, and therefore is now very clearly in the value creation range that we achieved already as of last year. What also pleases me is that is not only due to any special effects, but if we adjust the figure for the sale of Navil Distribution last year, as well as for the sale of the building earlier this year, we have still an increase of 0.6 percentage points to 8.7%, which is a very solid figure. That figure, that increase, has been driven especially by the improvement on the retail side and within retail, especially by retail Switzerland, Austria, which increased its ROCE by 6 percentage points to 23.8. Included in here is the gain on the sale of the building. However, even accounting for that, we still have a very impressive increase, as you easily can see from the EBIT improvement later in the presentation. Retail Germany stayed flat due to a flat EBIT, as we'll see, and slightly increased CapEx. We're investing in this business and therefore laying the ground for the future growth that we plan. Food service had a slight decrease. Therefore, with that part of the group, we're not happy with the ROCE. We're definitely not yet above the minimum 8% threshold we set. We had a decrease of 0.5 percentage point to 6.5%. That is largely due to the slightly lower EBIT, but as well due to the investment we made in our production capacity. Therefore, here as well, expansion CapEx we've been planning. Without the goodwill, the ROCE, of course, is still very profitable at 16.4%. As a start, the ROCE, I think, laid a solid ground. Now let's see how we achieve these figures. And as usual, I'll lead you through the P&L, starting on page five with net revenue. Overall, we had a decrease of 3.2% to just above 1 billion in the first 6 months of this year, with 1.005 billion. However, if we adjust for the sale of Marine Distribution, which was still included last year with 29 million, the decrease stands at merely 0.3%. Further accounting for the exchange rate and therefore giving the figures in local currency, we even managed to have a very slight growth, but more importantly, to really stabilize the business, we have a slight growth, 0.2%. Diving a bit more into the details by division, if I look at Retail Switzerland, we see an ongoing, not surprising, decrease of the revenue, -2.5%, driven by two facts. One is store closures. We've been closing 25 stores, again, concentrating on high frequency, closing loss-making store as we can, and therefore improving the overall quality of our network. However, at the same time, we also had a decrease of 1.4% in our same store, and both figures combined then lead to the -2.5%. Germany Luxembourg has an increase of 4.5%, driven by more owned stores, especially in Germany, and the overall store expansion. On a same store basis, however, we faced a medium satisfying first half, with Germany being exactly on last year's level, while Luxembourg suffered from special circumstances that big for anyone who has been in Luxembourg over the last couple of months, big construction works in the city center, which affected some of our main locations with the corresponding impact. So temporary effect over there. In Germany, with the merely holding the same store level as in last year, clearly we can't be satisfied. We've been expecting more. That is driven by an above expectation price decline, especially in the first quarter of this year, with a regain in or a slight decline in the second quarter, continuing as well into the third quarter. Positive note definitely to say is that food and tobacco almost fully compensated, or in Germany, fully compensated that above expectation decline, therefore improving our GP margin, as we'll see on one of the next pages. Finally, food service, with a positive development again of in local currency above 6%, driven on one side by same store, which is overall in the division at 1.6%. Within there, especially Brätl-König, which you see on the food service Switzerland, has been a highlight with clearly above 2% same-store growth in the first half of this year, on the back of a very strong, again, same-store growth last year. Ditch, had as well a positive same-store growth, but the big driver of the almost 8% increase in local currency has been store expansion, but as well the growth on the B2B side with plus 5.6%. And that is very remarkable considering that we had major engineering work going on in the production hall, in our main production hall in Oranienbaum, tearing out an entire line while on the left, on the right, production continued. So we had production shortfalls due to that and still managed to further grow the output. The line is now up and running, fully functionally, so we gain flexibility and production volume, which puts us in a good position as well for continued growth on the B2B side. I move over to page 6, very briefly, an overview of our network. I think the title already says it all. It's a stable store network. Two highlights I would like to make is on the right-hand side of the table, the reduction on the partner side. As you'll remember, the partner are very lightly connected to us, not holding our brands, not necessarily taking all the inventory from us. And we have the strategy since 1.5 years to actively reduce that number. We continued along this way, being now down at 61. These 61 will evaporate over the coming 3 years, roughly, as the lease commitments we are having with these shops are expiring, which is the moment where we can stop working with these partners or exchange them as we renew the lease. The rest of the network has been stable, showing that we managed to stabilize the entire network. We'll slightly grow the part which is operated by agencies or franchisees. We're now standing at 63% operated by agencies and franchisees. Moving over to the gross profit on page 7, we see a decline if I include the 18 million of Naville Distribution, but adjusting for that, the increase is at 1.2% and in local currency at 1.9%. If I now take the comparison to our midterm guidance for the GP growth, which says somewhere between 1 and 3%, we're exactly in the middle of the range that we set ourselves midterm in local currency and therefore spot on, I would say. As well, below the graph on the left-hand side, you see the margin development adjusted for Naville Distribution. We had a very nice increase of 0.6 percentage points to 41.4%, and therefore moving in the right direction of the 42% that we set ourselves for 2018 at the earliest. The increase was driven by Retail Switzerland, above all, with 0.6 percentage point increase up to 36.3%, driven by, on one side, higher promotion, but as well an improvement in shrinkage, plus, not written on here, of course, as well, getting rid of the stores with lower profitability, as mentioned, under the revenue side. Germany, as already mentioned, stable, slight increase on the margin side, and food service with an increase of 4 million, which is due to the revenue development. However, with a GP margin decline of 0.7 percentage points. The main driver of this is, as you will have even read on the NZZ last Saturday on the economics part, is the huge increase on the raw material prices, especially on the butter and cheese side, which is now coming from historical lows to a historical high. That impact in the first half year counted for 1 million. And if I adjust mentally for that 1 million, we actually saw an increase by roughly 1 percentage point in the gross profit margin, which shows that we're heading overall in the right direction. Bear in mind, of course, that the production capacity can't be increased that quickly, and then we're foreseeing a continued impact of the raw material prices as well in the second half of this year. Moving on to the cost side on page 8, Adjusted again for Mavin distribution, we have a very slight decrease of the cost by 0.5% to 382 million, with an improvement of the cost ratio by 0.1 percentage point to 38%. So I think overall cost in line, even if in Switzerland, which improved its cost ratio by 0.9 percentage points to 32.7%, we benefited from some windfall profits, well-managed profit through the gain of the book gain of La Praille, which is showed under the net operating cost. So the bigger driver actually for the improvement on Retail Switzerland is the lower personnel and the operating expenses due to the store closures, but as well, especially the better management on the lower personnel side. Retail Germany has been, again, roughly stable with a slight increase in the cost ratio, normal fact driven by the higher number of stores. And Foodservice, again, has been affected by some special facts. There's on one side the setup of the U.S. organization, which costed net special setup cost of roughly 500,000, and as well, again, the special charges for the replacement of line two in our production facility in Oranienbaum. Adjusted for that, the profit or the cost margin in Foodservice as well is well under control. Finally, the last point to mention, we continue to invest in our digitalization with the launch of the K-Kiosk app and retail app and analytics, as well as our financial services, Spot Finance, leading roughly overall to the increase of 1.7 million that you can see on the corporate. Putting it all together on page nine, coming to the EBIT, we have an increase not accounting for any of the consolidations, but really year-on-year of 14.1% to 34.7%, coming from 30 million last year, 34.7 million, of course. If I adjust for Mavin distribution last year, the increase even stands at 26%. And if I deconsolidate mentally from that, the book gain of La Praille, 2.9 million, the increase then fully like-for-like would stand at 15%. And again, that 15% is not by coincidence exactly as well what we expect for the full year. So I think we very much on track to achieve the 15% improvement in EBIT that we set ourselves for this year. Not only is the absolute figure in line, but the margin is moving into the right direction. Adjusted for Mavin distribution, we stood at 2.7% last year. We increased that figure to 3.5%, and therefore have, first of all, a significant increase in profitability, but more importantly, we're really heading towards the 4% that we set ourselves at the beginning of last year. Dissecting this a bit more and looking at divisions, firstly, Retail Switzerland and Austria, we had a steep increase of almost 70% in the profit, even if that includes the book gain of 2.9%, you still see that the profit improvement coming from the GP, but as well of the cost control, as mentioned before, is significant, and the EBIT margin as it stands here is at 3.7%, a huge increase by 1.5 percentage points. As well, I think it's worthwhile noting where it stood. We were at below 1% in 2014 when I presented my first result for Retail Switzerland. I think that shows the amount of turnaround that has been put, especially in that division over the last couple of years. Retail Germany minimally increased the profit, but basically stands at the same level with a margin of 2.9%. Foodservice had a decline of 1.2 million, 11% decline, and an EBIT margin standing at 8% today. That is driven by the facts mentioned before. on one side, the cost increase on the raw material side, then the two special cost effects, the change of the line and the investment in Pretzl Baron in the U.S. Adjusting for that, again, mentally, it's not a one-off, therefore we don't claim anything, but still explaining it without that, we would have an improvement of the operational profit by around about 1 million. With that, I leave the P&L, not quite yet, excuse me. P&L doesn't stop at EBIT, but goes down to net profit to some more highlights. On page 10, we have an improvement of the net profit from continuing operation by 36%, and EPS actually even growing by 39% compared to the first half of 2016. Apart from the EBIT growth, one big driver is the financing activities, where we had a decrease of 5 million. That stems from the special cost we had last year, the unwinding of the interest rate swap we made in order to make the refinancing of the variable tranche of the syndicated loan in the first half of 2016, plus the benefit out of the lower refinancing, with both in conjunction lead to that significantly lower financing cost in the first half of 2017. Income taxes, on the other side, have been almost doubling, and if you then look a bit more carefully at it, you see that the current taxes actually have been lower. However, the deferred taxes have massively increased as expected. You will remember we had to activate some tax loss carryforwards in 2015 and 2016, which led to a positive figure for income taxes. Now, of course, these figures are unwinding, so we're depreciating these tax assets and therefore now stand at 20% tax ratio. These roughly 20% is also what you can expect going forward, already maybe preempting some questions. You will see a gradual increase in the current income taxes with the gradual decrease of the deferred taxes, maintaining roughly the 20% in income taxes. Now, definitely leaving the P&L, moving on to page 11 with the balance sheet. Not a whole lot to say on that page. The balance sheet has been impacted in the first half of 2017 by three facts. As usual, the dividends, then the sale of the building, reducing the asset, and then the increase in net working capital, as we'll see in a couple of pages. All that led to an increase in the net debt to 250 million, an increase of 50 million compared to the end of 2016. The leverage ratio improved compared to the first half of 2016 to 1.9. However, due to that normal increase in net debt that we see always in the first half of the year, we slightly increased it, the leverage ratio, compared to the end of 2016, when it stood at 1.6. Free cash flow is definitely one of the page that needs some explanation. We're starting from, of course, an increase in EBIT and EBITDA, but have significantly lower elimination of other non-cash items. That is due to last year, the effect of IAS 19, which had a negative effect on the P&L, but has been almost zero in the first half of this year, and therefore, as a non-cash effect, was corrected in 2016, but not 2017. And on the other side, the book gain on the building, which is as well included in this elimination of other non-cash items. So there, a decrease on that line. Then the net working capital, with a significant increase of net working capital in the first half year. Most of that's really driven by business-related fluctuations of the net working capital. If you look at it, it's mostly the accounts payable that had a significant increase, And sincerely, we're not monitoring that in detail. We're paying the bills when they're due, and depending on when the due date is, you have one payment run more or less. And I've been fully transparent about that over the last 2-3 years. We had this year one payment more, payment run more than in 2016. From 1 billion or 600, 700 million that we have in cost of materials, of course, one payment run has a huge impact on the cash flow. Next point to mention is the CapEx, with a welcome increase by 50%. Here as well, we've always been transparent that we welcome higher CapEx and we're ready to invest if we find the right opportunities. We also said that we want to have a good mix between maintenance and innovation expansion, maintaining maintenance at below 50% from a given year, and we achieved that very safely, with maintenance being at 39%, while innovation expansion spending at 61%. Within there, obviously, the investment in the new line in Oranienbaum is the largest part, but as well, greenfield, full refurbishment on lease extension, etc., as well account for the rest, as well as our investment on the digital. With that, almost come to an end. Moving on to page 13 and our guidance. Again, very brief. We simply and boldly confirm what we've been saying at the beginning of the year and as well at the beginning of last year. We still expect to make a EBIT of 79 million at the end of the year, plus minus 3 million in leeway, the increase of 15% I referred to, and the medium-term guidance of 1-3% GP growth, with a GP margin at 42% and an EBIT margin at 4% still holds. And with that positive note, I would like to hand over to Michael.
Thank you very much, Tobias. As I said at the beginning, we're very pleased with that set of numbers. We're also very optimistic in terms of the outlook of our business. However, we still operate in a quite challenging market environment, and on page number 15, we summarized the key macro trends we look at that drive ultimately also our retail business and the food service business. On the positive side, why we are optimistic in terms of the outlook is mainly driven by the fact that at the sites that we operate in high frequency locations, we anticipate a continued growth in footfall, mainly driven by the increase in mobility, service, travel that we expect to evolve also in the coming years, and ultimately the positive trends that we see in the convenience and impulse purchase space overall. We see that within convenience, food and fresher food becomes more relevant, and as you know, this is one of our key strategic initiatives over the last couple of years to increase the share of these offerings across all the formats that we operate. However, we still see slightly negative trends on the tobacco side, definitely in terms of volume, and related to that, the footfall. We're quite pleased with the overall development in Germany in the tobacco space, where we've been gaining share in the market. We are also highly satisfied with the transition that we are managing together with the tobacco industry, specifically here in Switzerland, to new innovative products that we support substantially in our stores. But overall, the traditional tobacco remains a declining category that ultimately affects then also our top line negatively in the longer term. Secondly, print or the price market, you're all aware
The decline continues. We are gaining share substantially in Germany, where we are performing significantly better than the rest of the market. In Switzerland, with our strong market position, we are rather declining with at the same pace as the market, and the environment there remains challenging. However, we accounted for that in our long-term guidance, and in that regard, we are also, in terms of our expectation, on track and didn't experience any negative surprises, with probably the only exception that Tobias mentioned in the German market, where sales have been slightly softer in H1 than what we anticipated. Ultimately, what we also see is that in the commercial property market overall, tenants, landlords become more sophisticated. Ultimately, we see more competition for the sites that we operate. That is ultimately a mandate for us to become also more sophisticated in terms of the development of our store formats. We are investing currently in the development of new concepts. We are continuously evolving all our stores in terms of the marketing, market positioning, and ultimately anticipating the changes in the consumer expectation and trends. Overall competition, you're definitely aware of our market position here in Switzerland on the kiosk side. We feel very comfortable in the broader convenience space. However, I think we see very active competitors with the two major incumbent retail players, Migros and Coop, also seeing the attractiveness of the convenience space and investing in that space. But so far, we feel very comfortable with our position and the development overall. And on the basis of the significant efficiency improvement we realized in Switzerland, we're also in a strong position to invest continuously and in the future in that space. And last but not least, the regulatory environment. It has been mentioned in at several notes in the figures already in the full year results. Specifically in Germany, we have seen increasing labor costs due to the changes of the minimum wages, but also overall, we anticipate there rather further headwind in terms of changes in the regulatory environment that not necessarily only affect the salary directly, but also increase requirements in terms of store operations and ultimately increase our costs to operate these stores at these locations. We had some of these effects also here in Switzerland, where we had to increase some of our teams to take care of these operational adjustments. However, we compensated well for that with other efficiency improvements in other areas of the Retail Switzerland operations. We discussed already several times, specifically in our full year results, our digital initiatives. In terms of digital, I don't want to go through all the details, but I think you're perfectly aware that also digital has more and more as we see it, creates opportunities also for our business. One of the main areas is to increase further the speed of the transactions at our stores and communicating more directly with consumers, offering omnichannel offerings. For example, what we do with in our coffee space and with Spectacolo, with the app where you can pre-order the coffee and directly pay. We invest continuously in that space, and we will continue to do so also in the future with rather expanding our digital activities
in the future, also in terms of the organizations that we put behind these efforts. Turning the page to number 16, we confirm basically the four strategic pillars that we already communicated in the past. We confirm that we will continue to work along all these four pillars in parallel with the growth initiatives, both in the existing markets and the international markets, further improving efficiency, investing in innovation. I think Tobias illustrated that on the CapEx line. We overinvest in innovation currently, or outinvest the maintenance part now, with 60% of our CapEx behind innovation and expansion. And we continuously also invest in a change in the culture within our organization, also an element, an integrated element of our strategy, as I explained at our annual earnings call. In my view, an important part to drive the change overall in the group to enable our teams to become an agile or even more agile organization and to cope with the challenges ahead of us. We translate this strategy across the three areas, retail, food services, and the group in strategic initiatives that I want to quickly present and update you on the following pages. If you turn to page number 17, along the four pillars, the main initiatives, as I mentioned already on the growth side, is further expansion in the existing markets, with good progress in Germany specifically, both on the retail and the food service side, and ultimately also a expansion in new markets and with the B2B business, with our ditch production facilities that we now also opened or acquired earlier this year in the US. In terms of efficiency, I think we discussed already extensively our effort, and ultimately in the recent development of margin in our core businesses and the ROCE, overall group ROCE development, I think we can definitely illustrate that this effort has been is well on the way, and we can confirm the guidance in terms of profitability and expectations we set for the efficiency pillar as part of our overall strategy. In terms of innovation, I mentioned already earlier, we are continuously investing and only increasing our investments in the digital opportunities, and beyond that, also in our concepts, with a strong focus on fresh, so fresh food offerings within existing concepts, but also along potential new offerings. And the performance culture, which has the main goal to create an entrepreneurial organization that is committed on a daily basis to deliver the best possible offering to our consumers. If I go through the details of these initiatives on the following pages, starting with page number 18 for the retail initiatives, I think if you go through the list, you see that we confirm what we already communicated earlier this year at our annual results presentation. Therefore, I only go through the key highlights. I think on market leadership, it's quite clear that we still see a lot of opportunities to optimize our network. There are a lot of opportunities in terms of tenders coming up where we will participate, and not only participate with existing concepts, but concepts that we will evolve and test in these tenders, and ultimately which will lead to also a new repositioning under existing banners and existing store formats in all geographies. In terms of efficiency, I think we still have a lot of room for improvement ahead of us. We're very comfortable with the developments in the core categories. I mentioned the tobacco space. Overall, traditional tobacco continues to decline in terms of number of sticks, but we work very productively with the tobacco industry in terms of introduction of new products, supporting them in that effort, and also working across all the other core categories, specifically with the effort in food and beverages, where I'm very proud that the team realized roughly 740 rollouts of coffee modules in Switzerland, and in parallel, a rollout of these initiatives also in Germany, where you see it in the numbers, also quite a positive development in food and beverage that we realized also in the H1. Part of that driven also by the introduction of our own brand, OK Energy Drinks, in Germany, but not only energy drinks, but also other products that we started to sell in H1 in Germany under the OK label. Loyalty programs, we introduced the K-Kiosk app earlier this year. So far, we were very pleased with the results, but that obviously is a product that has to be continuously developed. We have a strong team that takes care of these initiatives, and ultimately, we can mention here that we also won the Retail Technology Award from NACS, which is the most important retail organization, trade organization in the U.S. So we're very pleased with the progress, and more we also we get the recognition for that in the market. In terms of operational adjustments, the most important initiative in retail is to adjust our supply chain to the new requirements of the fresh food products. We have here a team here in Switzerland working on a substantial change of the logistics setup that will lead both to an improvement of our capability to deliver fresher products to all of our stores, and also to further efficiency improvements in terms of logistic costs overall in the group. With that, turning to page 19, in terms of food service initiatives, ultimately food service with the positive development, gaining additional weight in the group, becoming more and more important also from a consumer point of view. Consumers turn increasingly towards fresher, more sophisticated products. They expect more sophisticated products in the locations we operate. We benefit from that both on the B2C and the B2B side. B2B, Tobias talks you through with a strong development again in terms of output volumes, despite the challenges we had in our production in Oranienbaum. But the challenges were related to an investment that we committed late last year. Apologize. And this investment is now well on the way, in a sense that it's fully operational, and we can added a lot of capacity in the existing production facility that, again, should drive further growth in the B2B business of Ditch. Also, the retail formats, you have seen strong set of number from specifically also from Bretzelkönig, but also Ditch, again, in a quite challenging market environment, showed positive development on a like-for-like basis. This again driven by consumers that more and more expect more sophisticated, fresher products in high frequency locations, but also ultimately by a successful expansion and adjustment of our offerings in the market, both here in Switzerland and Germany. And at that point, I should also mention our coffee, not only the coffee modules that we introduced in the retail format, highly successful, but in parallel, the Spectacolo team here in Switzerland also launched a completely new concept in Biel and Lausanne over the last couple of months, where we introduced a completely new concept, new in terms of fresher offerings and a much improved, as we think, store layout and look and feel of the stores, which was very well received by both our consumers but also the landlords. And we expect to continue to roll out now this new concept across Switzerland. With that, turning to the group initiatives on page 20, I think we discussed in the past the what we call Valora platform initiatives, so creating one backbone for all our activities. By doing that, realizing cost synergies, but at the same time also increasing transparency and reducing reaction time to challenges that we have to address across the formats, better comparability of the numbers and easier, and therefore creating an easier way to manage these formats across the different markets and brands or banners. One of the main drivers for this Valora platform is the IT platform and the introduction of SAP across the group. We share with you here our timing in terms of introduction of the SAP platform. By the end of 2007, we will have fully upgraded to HANA and a couple of other new SAP modules. Luxembourg will be next, and then by the end of 2019, we will have completed that effort in Germany. All these efforts are fully reflected in our guidance, so this is nothing new or something that we added in terms of also costs or capex that go behind that effort. That's fully reflected and has been planned well ahead. Lean and agile organization remains one of our main initiatives that is monitored and managed by the group. I think the improvement of the cost ratios in the main markets demonstrate that we have been managing that quite successfully, and as part of that, also a strengthening of our dedicated Valora Lab, as we call our digital initiatives to focus on the new digital opportunities, has been quite successful in terms of bundling and consolidating there the efforts across the group and strengthen these teams, both in terms of headcount, but also in terms of capability on the technical side and competence side. And we look also here quite optimistic in the coming months and years in terms that we can deliver new services and introduce new applications that will further improve the customer experience at our stores. So with that, I wrap up on page 21. What are we proud of? I'm personally very proud that our teams across the group delivered this set of numbers. Ultimately, as we see it, attractive financials. We managed to improve the margin together with also improving the quality of our business and implementing a significant amount of initiatives which are well on track, and therefore we are also well on track to achieve our as we see it, ambitious midterm targets that we communicated in the past to the market. We continue to generate cash as we see it, an attractive, realized attractive cash generation, and as a result of that, improve the return on capital.
as you know, one of the key financial performance indicators that we have chosen already by now, almost 5 years ago, the focus on return on capital employed, which helped us to manage cash generation across the group and focus the teams on that KPI. This starts definitely to yield strong results. And with that, we're in a position also to confirm a consistent high dividend payment with currently a dividend yield of roughly 4%. Secondly, we have a clear strategic positioning. This is important towards our landlords. People know what Valora stands for. Internally, at least as important, people are aligned behind these strategic initiatives. They understand the purpose of the group, and we are in a strong position, as we see it, to defend our market position and continue to grow in our existing markets where we have a leading market position in the German-speaking Europe. And as I said earlier, all the initiatives are well on track. What is on our agenda now for the coming months? As you know, we have with Franz Jühlen, a new chairman that succeeded Rolando Benedict earlier this year. Quite obviously, with Franz, we are now working on a review of our growth strategy. The growth strategy will build on all what we said earlier, but will be more specific in terms of choosing the right opportunities and focusing even more capital allocation to some of these opportunities. We will continue to improve efficiency and build our platform, with SAP being one of, or the rollout of SAP across the group being one of the main initiatives. And in parallel, we will continue also as part of some of the tenders that are currently on the way, improve our concepts in a way to address the evolving consumer and customer expectations even better in the future, and maintain a competitive and attractive store portfolio. So with that, I would open up the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
The first question is from Henrietta Rumberger, AWP. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Maybe you could quickly put some color on the, you said that you will continue international expansion. Are there any countries in particular you have on the map? Thank you.
So thank you very much for that question. In terms of international expansion, we started this initiative, on two dimensions. First, on the B2C side and the B2B. B2B, our production activities within Ditch. I think quite clearly with the acquisition of Brezel Barons in the U.S., the U.S. will be one main area of international expansion for the B2B business. On the B2C side, as you see in our presentation, we are currently active in Austria, a market that we know quite well from our retail and convenience business. So we are active with Brezel König there. The expansion is in Germany quite well on the way, with a first store that we opened within the Vienna main station, within one of our existing P&B locations. So more and more we are also in a position to leverage our store portfolio, rather small store portfolio, to be fair, on the retail side in Austria. So Austria will remain one of our markets that we're going to focus on for Brezel König. And then the stores in France, this was the market, the new market that we approached with Brezel König. There, we're still in the process of adjusting the offering. We have not opened new stores there. So that's the current focus of the international expansion. But having said that, well beyond that, we see opportunities in Europe, mainly currently for Bretzel König in other markets, but this will be very much driven by negotiations, ongoing negotiations with franchise partners. The existing stores are owned stores. The next step will be now to sign agreements with franchise partners, be it in existing markets, but more importantly, in new markets for the Bretzel König concept.
Next question is from Christian Beitz, Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello everybody. If you could just give us a hint how the margin progression, how you see the margin progression going forward. I mean, on an adjusted base, we also saw a slight decrease year over year. And do you believe that, the current level is sustainable level, and this is one for the food service, where we come from margins that were much higher? Do you believe that we can regain the old levels? My second question would be, with regards to depreciation amortization, is the first half charge for D&A a good run rate for the second half? And yeah, this is it for the moment.
Good. Hi, Christian. Thank you very much for your question. Tobias speaking. First of all, you need to show me your calculation on the year-on-year decline in adjusted margin, actually. The adjustment made for Navi Distribution, and even if I take out the building, we have a significant increase in gross profit and gross profit margin. But maybe focusing then on the food service side, which is, of course, one of the questions we expected, as the 8% are triggering question. I think if you look back from where we're coming from, there are, I would say, four main drivers for the decrease, and which also explains a bit the way going forward. One is Bretzel König International. We are, as Michael just mentioned, investing quite heavily into that expansion. And sincerely, you know, that's what I usually call one of our free options. Either we manage in convincing international franchise partner to take on the brand and therefore also to pay franchise fees, and if not, we'll of course reduce the cost there, and with that, in either way, from that point of view, the margin will increase again. Second factor has been the inclusion of Café Spettacolo, I think as of early 2016. Café Spettacolo has a much lower margin than the rest of the food service, Bretzel König and Bitch. So this you need to bear in mind if you compare the, let's say, the 2014 figures. Then we have the investment in Pretzel Baron, and as for this half year as well, the investment in Line 2, which are especially Pretzel Baron, special costs, which of course will pay back, and the one-off cost falling away on that side, which as well should help you. Then there are two other reasons which are not going away. One is that the minimum wages, especially in Germany, but as well in Switzerland with the various GAFs, have been increasing. That has put pressure on our margins, and this will take definitely time until we manage to recover that. We have then the change in shift in weight between the B2B side and the B2C side, the B2B being very profitable, but on a margin at a lower level of profitability than the B2C side overall, and with that huge ramp up on the B2B side in terms of GP, as you've seen, that has as well contributed. So we're monitoring, as you will have seen from my explanation, very closely the evolution of the food service side. Some points are here to stay. Other ones should ease, hopefully over time as well, the pressure from the raw material. I think it is excluded that it goes back to the levels you have seen in 2013-14 due to the structural development you've seen, but we'll invest as much as possible in order to maintain a very sound and good profitability, not least because that is also relevant for us achieving the 42% and 4% that we set as goal for the GP and EBIT margin.
Okay, thanks.
Go ahead. Now I wanted to see the DNA for the second part. We overall, it is a level that that you can expect. Of course, we are now investing more heavily, and some of the points that we are investing get depreciated, of course, immediately, like line two, so it's in operation and that sort. So DNA over time, as we continue to invest and hopefully invest more, will rather increase a bit again. But that should be overcompensated by the positive development in EBITDA, because I think what really stays is that our threshold for making CapEx still needs to very clearly overachieve the 8% ROCE hurdle that we set for the group.
Okay, and sorry for messing up my question. I referred to food service, not to retail. That's
Food service DNA.
No. The first question with regard to the margin was with regard to food service. I messed it up by mentioning retail. Sorry for that. Yeah. But with regards to retail, do you believe that your offering now largely has been adjusted to a level in the sense of that your offering has shifted from cigarettes and tobacco to food and beverages, or do you see further scope for improvement in the sense of a further shift?
I mean, Michael speaking, I mean, we always see opportunities for improvement, and quite clearly, also in retail, consumers are continuously changing their expectation. As I said, there is an increased expectation in terms of the sophistication of the food offering specifically. So we will continue to work on these opportunities. But I think, coming back to your question, in a sense, do we have substantial adjustments ahead of us? I think there I can refer to what we said back in 2013. It's a three-year process. We concluded that process in Switzerland in terms of store developments. You have seen the big shifts, the introduction of new food offerings, introduction, as we shared today with you, the successful rollout of the coffee offerings, increase of shelf allocation, specifically for chilled foods and chilled beverages, the most important category within there in the existing store. So a lot of efforts have been implemented in terms of changing the store setup. Now it's more about adapting what we put on these shelves and improving the experience for the consumers in terms of offering more sophisticated products. Having said that, to bear in mind, still, a substantial part of that in Switzerland is beverages, so it's less the sandwich but rather beverages, and in beverages we made quite some progress and it's far easier to adjust to changes in terms of consumer expectations. And on the food side, so the typical sandwich and snacking opportunities you have, I think I refer to our supply chain optimizations, where we will create new opportunities to offer more sophisticated products across the full store
format without touching the actual store. Most of what I said applies also to Germany, with I think the significant difference that we started later in Germany. So you see that also in CapEx allocation. We invest more heavily in the store network in Germany. There is more ahead of us in terms of also of opportunities. Food is developing very nicely in Germany. Introduction of the private label OK helped a lot. But again, I think the most important part in Germany is also the most important part of the transition is also behind us, in a sense that we have now a supply chain with Lecoland as being the most important partner that is capable of delivering these products. We are recognized in the market as an operator, not only for print tobacco, but also for food offerings, and also the rollout of Spectacolo as a coffee, quite a sophisticated coffee offering in Germany, is quite well on the way. I hope this answers your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Next question is from Marco Strittmatter, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. Yes, can you, for Pretzel Baron, maybe give us a sales number? That's the first question. Then AVEC is a bit on the. Yeah, you didn't mention AVEC at all. What's happening there? Is it going well? Do you reposition it somehow, or what's the deal there? And then finally, we discussed the negative margin in food service. We could also discuss a bit the positive margin in Switzerland. 3.2% is a very good number. Do you expect this to stay on this level, or were the promotions more of a one-off nature? And would you expect for the second half similar improvements as normally, as in earlier years, for Retail Switzerland? Thank you.
So thank you very much for your questions. I mean, first of all, in Pretzel Baron, the answer is very simple. No, we don't provide figures. What we provided you is that we have one line that is currently fully operational, not operating at full capacity, but it's one line. And we are very pleased with the progress there, not only of the integration, but actually how the products are received in the market. I think at the time of the acquisition, we said it's a mid-single million sales number, if I remember correctly. So that's all the indication we give on Brent Baron, okay. At least that for now. In terms of AVEC, I think it's a very valid question. I mean, first of all, in our earnings presentation, we only show combined numbers. But you're right, I referred at the previous question very much to the kiosk, because that's where most of the transformation was taking place over the last couple of years. And I think with that, I answer now your AVEC question. So that's the next area that we're going to cover. You probably are aware of the fact that I think we communicated that at the annual results presentation that we opened in December 2016 a test store in Ziegelbrücke here in Switzerland. Earlier last in 2016, we opened a new concept in Germany under the banner of AVEC, where we improved the concept and tested new fresh food offerings quite dramatically. So we changed pretty much everything in the store and test now what is best received by the customer at both locations in Germany and here in Switzerland. On the basis of that experience, we're definitely going to apply changes to the AVEC store network here in Switzerland in the coming months and years. But again,
there will be potential adjustments of store layouts. There has some investments will be related to that in terms of increasing, for example, freezer space, and other equipment potentially. But overall, the main initiative is now that we set up the capabilities on a supply chain food offering side to basically improve substantially the offering in the AVEX. What is working currently very well in the AVEX is actually the on-site production. So you are aware that we are producing sandwiches and other food offerings fresh in the stores. This is very well on the way and also very well received by the customers. But to answer your question, AVEX obviously still very important to us. Even more important now with the introduction of the brand in Germany, but rather at the beginning of the transformation. And in terms of the financial answer to your third question, what we expect for the retail Switzerland business, highly appreciate your comment that we can cover that as well. I hand over to Tobias. The only thing I think I can add is, but obviously, I mean, in Switzerland, we are very pleased with the development. And ultimately, as I said also earlier, we see still a lot of opportunities ahead of that, of us being driven by the group or specifically within the Retail Switzerland business to improve the efficiency overall.
With that, hi Marco, Michael already said the main point. but I think the easiest to answer your question is quickly run through the P&L. I mean, sales, we expect that to stay under pressure for still quite some time. I mean, that's the simple effect of the mix that we're having that is still ongoing. And the guidance that we gave per division and therefore as well for Retail Switzerland still holds true. We said that GP should stay roughly at zero from -1% to +1%. And we're still holding up to that. We said that is a stretch. We made that explicit, but we're still holding up to that. Why are we confident on that side? One is promotions. I think are stable, so we don't have any exceptional one-offs in the first half year, which contributed to the level that we're showing now as per half year. The mix should as well contribute, despite the declining sales, to hold up on the GP level. Where we might see then some pressures on the price side, which of course then as well affects the sales side. But taking that all together, despite being probably one of the most challenging parts, we still stick to the ±1% on GP development for Switzerland. Then indeed, I can only reinforce what Michael said on the cost side, the efficiency side. We continue to optimize the store network. We continue to optimize our costs, be it on the logistics side, be it on the overall cost side. We started from, for example, in one department only at that stage as a pilot, a process efficiency review, which yields very astonishing and positive results of the level of improvement we're having, and also shows that the people are committed to continue to improve. Eventually as well, the investment that we're making on the IT side will contribute to improve that level. On the negative side maybe, and the cost is the rent part, we continue to see a increase on the rent side, which is driven by the main landlords. We're not foreseeing at short term an easing, but also I would say on the midterm, it's not the spiral that we think can go on forever. So all in all, I dare say that with the current level of potential that we're seeing, but as well the current level of competition, that is not a one-off in a positive sense, what you've seen in the margin in the first half.
Great. Thank you.
The next question is from Alexandra Bossert, UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions on the cash flow statement and the balance sheet, if I may, please. One question I have is, could you give some indication on the operating cash flow for the full year? Do you expect this sizable net working capital outflow to normalize in the second half? And could you also give some indication about the CapEx for the full year? The second question I have, with the senior bond and the call date of the perp coming closer, you have quite a lot of short-term debt on your balance sheet. You still have the 200 million credit facility unused, and also with your new chairman coming in and you reviewing your growth strategy, will you stick to your net debt to EBITDA of 2 to 2.5 times, including the hybrid? Thank you.
Good. Hello, Professor. Thank you very much for your question. I'll quickly start with the refinancing. Indeed, with the half-year statement, we reclassified the Swiss bonds to short-term, and therefore it has been on the board, and of course with my treasury department, the question of when is the best moment to refinance all this. So we will, we're planning to use, even though we have the unused credit facility agreement, we're planning, all things being equal, to make a refinancing ahead of the refinancing of the repayment of the bond. However, should there be any circumstances any special situation which would prevent us from going to the capital market, as you said, we're pretty relaxed, as we have the SUN loan, which is fully undrawn and that we're not expected to draw for any normal circumstances. So the refinancing is definitely on our strategy, but we are very relaxed considering as well the development of the company.
And it's 200 million, correct? The undrawn credit facility?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then the leverage ratio, I'll answer it in that sense. Yes, we have said it's still under review, so I do not want to preempt what Franz Jul and then the board might decide on that direction. We're reviewing currently our growth strategy. However, I think midterm, it is definitely what we feel at ease, 2.5 times leverage ratio. It definitely always can move if we see opportunities that we go in one sense below or above that. What I've always been saying as well on one-on-ones is that we, especially as well if questions come up for dividends, changes, etc., is that we put a focus on deleveraging now and use, first of all, the cash for investment. That is our first priority, organic investments mostly. But then as well, then the deleveraging, because that gives us more flexibility going forward in any sense, financially, including then as well potential M&A. Now, if opportunities arise before that, before we have reached a level, of course, considering then the situation of the company and the financial market, we again would go higher, but still today committing to staying within the range that I've said. You're much more aware than me than that these ratios anywhere would change drastically with IFRS 16, because not accounting for the accounting gimmick, we still plan and we still feel comfortable within the range that you mentioned.
Okay.
Finally, on your two other questions on operating cash flow, it's a tricky question because, as I said, we're not making any planning on the payable side, but we're always fully transparent what the effect is of when the payables fall. I sincerely, it is my credo as a CFO of a large group that when something comes, it is to be paid. And therefore, you know, I'm not looking when does the 31st of December fall. So that, as in the first half year, can have a significant impact. But as said, I'm then transparent on what it is. So I'm not so worried about the accounts payable. It is not a general increase, but is really due date specific. The points to watch and that we are watching are more the inventories increase. There as well, we have seen an increase of a couple of millions. Part of that is, again, seasonal related. We came from a very low level in ditch in Germany because ahead of the Line 2 exchange, we have a slightly higher level in Switzerland ahead of a campaign that we're planning. However, Germany is slightly changing the mix as well towards new product offering, also new stores. So there you see rather a slight structural increase in the inventories, and I think that is much more the point to watch here, and that we actually watch internally. On the CapEx side, we planned, as said, a significant increase compared to last year, where I said I was actually disappointed to have stayed below the 50 million. So for this year, we hope and we plan to stay or to go above 60 million, but we'll definitely stay below the 70 million in CapEx for this year. And again, also then going forward, we'd rather see such levels, so around 60 to max 70 over the cycle, let's say always taking a 3-year average, as, you know, especially with investment on the production side, as we've seen in the first half, these are heavier than simply refurbishing a POS, which is much more normal fluctuating. So depending when you change a line, you have a peak of easily 10 to 50 million, as we've been transparent. And that kind of change, of course, change the CapEx expenditure in any given period. But overall, that's level to expect, bearing in mind that starting from the 60 million, we said at the time, not more than 50% should be on the maintenance, and the rest is really growth and innovation CapEx, and therefore should it be needed and wanted to be reduced at any time.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
There are no questions at this time. Would you like to conclude the conference?
Yes, so if there are no questions remaining, thank you very much for attending our H1 2017 earnings call, and we wish you a wonderful day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.